The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is brought to you by Quails 2.0, the revolutionary new flightless bird from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. They said it couldn't be done. But finally, our team of scientists have cracked it. A genetically engineered quail that is slow and unintelligent enough that it can be chased, caught, and consumed by cattle. Order now and get 10% off your first bag of Quails 2.0 by using the code Is That Quail in Slow Motion? And use the code QUAIL to get a free quail. Important, do not let the quails breed.
Hello, and welcome to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the podcast companion to the Beef and Dairy Network website, as well as the printed magazine, brought to you by Quails 2.0. And we should say thank you to Mitchell's. They've actually sent us over a bag of Quails 2.0 delivered here to the office, and they're lovely little things, daft as a bag with spanners and so slow. It's actually quite weird to watch a bird move that slowly. It's unholy, like God didn't intend this.
Important, do not let the quails breed.
So, this month we caught up with professional scuba diver Nicholas Summers. We last spoke to Nicholas when he was working with Hollywood director James Cameron, diving down to the wreck of the Titanic and bringing back tins of beef left inside that stricken ship. You may remember that Nicholas opened one of the tins of beef here on the show and ate the contents.
Just going to finish taking the lid off and...
The canned beef was absolutely crawling with parasites. But it wasn't all good news. It was also full of high levels of lead, and it was this lead content that sent Nicholas into a deep coma. Well, the good news is that not only has he come round from the coma, he's starting a new business, Spherical Horizons, the Nicholas Summers Lead and Beef Arse Company. To find out more, I spoke to him earlier this week.
Hello, I'm Nicholas Summers, former scuba diver and now proprietor and sole investor for Spherical Horizons, the Nicholas Summers Lead and Beef Arse Company.
Nicholas, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Obviously, when we last spoke to you, I was in the room as you ate some very, very old tinned beef that you'd brought up from the Titanic. It turned out what we didn't know at the time was that that was actually so full of lead, that old meat, that you went into a coma.
Yes, that's right. I've just spent 4 months in the ICU where my body has kind of been processing the ingestion of the high amount of lead that I ate via the beef, which sounds like it would be a kind of horrible thing, but actually it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, we'll get on to that part of things in a moment. First of all, just tell me about exactly what had happened to you, medically speaking.
I had actually ingested, it turns out, 3.7 billion times more than is kind of acceptable medically. And I'm sure, you know, listeners will know, lead is quite heavy. So over the course of my stay in the ICU, gradually the lead was kind of settling towards the sort of lower end of my body. I was lying down. So over the course of the 4 months I was there, ultimately, all of the lead collected in my arse region.
And that, to use the medical term, gave you the dump truck ass, I believe.
Dump truck ass, that's right. A perfect medical example of dump truck ass.
If you're unfamiliar with the concept of a dump truck ass, it is an arse that is so big that it should beep when it reverses. A real back-end bulldozer. Honk, honk, honk if you're thick. Get on board the wobble wagon. We're going to the danger zone, Donk Donk. He got that beaver dam booty. Watch out for the rumpopotamus.
First of all, you know, when I came round in the ICU, I said, you know, what's happened? What's going on? And the doctors were kind of, they were a bit flummoxed. You know, normally if it's bad news, they'll say, I'm afraid it's bad news. Or if it's good news, they'll say, great news. Do you know what I mean? There's a tonal difference. Yeah. And in this case, there was kind of a confusion because they didn't know how I'd react to having a perfect dump truck ass. So in the end, it kind of ended up sounding negative and positive at the same time. So that sort of confused me more. So the doctor was like, I'm afraid we've got possibly good but awful, dreadful news. And that's
really rare for a medical condition. It's normally fairly clear cut, isn't it?
Exactly. And it continued, you know, he said, we've looked at your results and they are appallingly good.
Interesting. Okay.
You see, and so the whole time I'm just coming round. It's a bit, you know, I'm kind of feeling a bit overwhelmed. And, you know, I'm saying, doctor, tell me straight. And he's saying, Mr. Summers, this is the worst case of a perfect set of jiggly hams that we've ever seen. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? He says, honestly, Mr. Summers, I'd prefer you not to think about it because I don't know how you'll react. This is both the most positive thing that will happen to you in this dreadful set of circumstances. And it continued like this. And at one point, I looked at a nurse who had tears in her eyes and she kind of leant down towards me in a really sorrowful manner, I'd describe. She put her hand on my shoulder and said, I'm terribly sorry, but you, unfortunately now, have the perfect wagon.
Yeah, okay. Because you're dragging the perfect party wagon.
Exactly. I'm dragging the perfect wagon, precisely. And then, you know, when I thought I couldn't get any more confused, they brought in a priest. And you know, he's holding the Bible, he's got a cross in his hand. He's
Right, that tends to be bad news if you're on
extremely bad
on the board.
News. Exactly. Yeah. But much like the nurses, this priest was grinning. And I thought that there's something not. Is this good news or bad news?
And was he reading you the last rites?
Absolutely. He was singing me the last rites, which again is confusing. Normally it's said in a very somber way. He had a fantastic baritone. He's belting it out. And then the doctors and the nurses are starting to join in. They're doing like backing vocals. And I thought, I can't glean from these set of circumstances what is happening. And then he gets he starts throwing holy water around the room, but it's in a water gun. Do you know what I mean? It, also fun and lighthearted.
Very puzzling. Very puzzling.
By the way, did I mention that the priest is also wearing one of those Carmen Miranda fruit hats? So there's kind of like bananas, okay, pineapple, exotic fruits. And
very confusing vibe then.
Extremely confusing. And then the priest did the splits.
Mm. Now, obviously, that all sounds pretty traumatic. I mean, you throughout all this, nevertheless, you have got, you know, a great pair of runaway hippos around the back. And you have actually described this as the best thing that ever happened to you. And we'll come on to that in a moment. But at that time, did you realise it was going to be a positive thing?
No, I didn't. You know, like you say, I'm sat there in bed with a tightly packed pair of Belarusian cheese farmers, wondering, you know, should I be grateful for these curvy crouching tigers or not? And they'd actually, the hospital staff had actually wheeled in a mirror, which they'd propped against the wall. And I looked fantastic. I just filled out that hospital gown.
Mm.
I did look pretty, pretty hot. And it was as I sort of leaned round to touch it that my heart sank slightly. Because as my fingers, you know, reached touchdown on my spammy Cray twins, I felt how hard and how cold it was.
Of course, because of the lead.
And at that moment, you know, the doctor came in and he saw me sort of caressing my Dr. Dolittle 1 and 2. And he said, you know, Nicholas, what's the matter? And I explained, you know, I feel kind of conflicted, doctor. You know, I look great, but I don't feel great. I was like, is there anything you can do to make my Tweedledee and Tweedledump truck ass feel better?
Mm.
But he was explaining, you know, with NHS cuts and there's just not enough money going around and not enough research, that the best remedy that the NHS had come up with is providing patients with a live, laugh, love cushion, which you could kind of duct tape onto your own meaty pillows. And that didn't feel, you know, like a sensible solution. It would interfere with the shape of my ass.
Of course. You know, I mean, it feels like a very rudimentary solution there. You know, that's not, because it's giving with one hand in that it's making it soft, but as you say, it's totally destroying the shape.
Precisely.
Of that, you know, of Mount Tushmore. And you want to retain that somehow, right?
Absolutely. And so I said to the doctor, I was like, come on, surely not. I've been blessed here with a perfectly shaped twin Millennium Dome setup. You can't be spoiling that. And that's when he leaned in and he said, I'm not really allowed to tell you about this because it's not technically legal, but there's a procedure that you can have done. He knows a guy who could do it. £5,000 all in. It could be done in 6 weeks. I could wake up. Not only would I have a perfect looking dump truck ass, I'd have the perfect feeling dump truck ass.
Now, the procedure is a revolutionary thing. And this takes us nicely onto what you're doing with your business, because I believe it's this very procedure that your business is able to offer people. In a nutshell, what is it that they did to that fine relief map of the Dolomites you've got back there to make it feel like a true ass?
Well, I was surprised by when I was allowed to leave hospital and I was put in contact with my doctor's friend who would perform the procedure. I was surprised to actually discover he wasn't a doctor. He was a cattle farmer. The procedure, in a way, is actually incredibly simple. Over the course of 6 weeks, they would essentially pipe in hot mince. Prime beef mince. Imagine like a kind of reverse liposuction, but with premium mince.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I am imagining that, and it's fantastic.
Meu Deus, por favor, Deus do céu, não. Eu já tô grande demais. Ah, Virgem Maria, Mãe de Cristo, ouve minha oração. Não! Por favor, alguém chama a polícia marítima. O sistema judiciário me abandonou. Eu anseio pela proteção de um sistema legal que funcione.
Now, the fact that you couldn't get the British National Health Service to fire ground beef into your arse region is actually a legal issue, right? It's because that would be actually illegal for them to do under the current legal system.
Yes, that's right. It's an obscure law, I believe, that suggests, or rather states, that beef can only be produced to be consumed, not for cosmetic reasons.
Right.
And so this is kind of why I had this brainwave, because, you know, you'd think there's no getting around that. Then I thought, well, okay, so if you can't provide this procedure on land, perhaps the only place you can perform the procedure is in international waters.
Okay, very clever.
You know, as you and your listeners will remember, I'm a scuba diver. Was a scuba diver. Try and get my ass into a wetsuit now. And so I thought, well, hang on, I'm perfectly placed. I know people with boats. I know people with scuba equipment. You know, if you should get to get people out there into international waters. So I immediately called up Jose, who was my old, he used to drive the dive boat that we'd take divers out with. And he was well up for it. You know, I said, listen, Jose, don't ask any questions, but I've got a dump truck ass. It's been piped with hot mints. And we're going to do this to as many people as we can because I feel incredible. He didn't ask any questions. I'm not sure he understood, actually. He doesn't say much, so I'm not sure if he speaks English. But anyway, head down to the harbour. He starts revving up the propellers of the dive boat. We go and scout out a spot in international waters, find the perfect place. And that's where Spherical Horizons, the Nicholas Summers Leaden Beef Ass Company, was formed.
Por favor, você precisa me ajudar. Ele encheu minha bunda com chumbo demais e carne moída.
How does this differ from, you know, we hear about the Brazilian butt lift? The Brazilians have really made that a sort of national industry, really. So what do you say to people who say, I don't need this lead and beef situation, I can just go to Sao Paulo and get myself a Brazilian ass?
How long is that Brazilian ass lasting? Do you know the answer to that question? No.
No
one does. No. some Brazilian arses will last months, some will last years, sure. But the one thing that is going to last forever is an alloy of lead and beef mince. A lead beef ass is outlasting you.
Right.
I want to live in a world where in thousands of years' time, you know, historians, archaeologists will be unearthing coffins and bodies and the remains of our generation. And they're going to see the bones won't be there, but the perfect dump truck ass will be. That is going to survive. And when the whole planet goes to shit, the one thing that's still going to be there is that lead beef dump truck ass. And that's a Nicholas Summers promise.
So it's really that durable that in a kind of apocalypse event, all that might be left is, cockroaches and a leaden beef ass.
Yes, that's right. I think what I would say, you know, it's incredibly durable, but when heated to a certain temperature, there have been reports. We've not really investigated. I deny them. I don't think they're true. I think they're kind of, you know, rumours whipped up by the Brazilian butt lift industry. It's a very, very powerful lobby to discredit the leaden beef ass. And those rumours are that if you heat up the leaden beef ass to a certain temperature, it will explode. And so, you know, there are stories of people who have passed and they have a lead beef dump truck ass. They're cremated. As soon as they go into the furnace, they take out the whole town.
Mm.
Those rumours haven't been verified. As far as I'm aware, the Brazilian butt lift lobby haven't provided much evidence. But I would say that if you have had the procedure done, don't stand with your back too close to a radiator.
Okay, and kind of heated seats in a car, maybe.
Yeah, turn those off. You know, candles. I'd say, you know, the heat from the sun between the hours of about 5:30 a.m. to probably about 9 p.m., just to be safe.
Agora eu mesmo estou me enchendo com essa carne quente. Eu não aguento mais carne. Mas eu só quero uma coisa. Mais carne. Ah.
So how popular is Spherical Horizons, the Nicholas Summers Lead and Beef Ass Company? How many procedures are you doing, for example, on a weekly basis?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like any new technology. I think, you know, it takes a while to take a hold in society, you know, for people to kind of hear about it. We are very much based in international waters. It's quite hard to get Wi-Fi out there. So a lot of our business is through word of mouth. Again, we're in international waters, so that word of mouth is mainly through the mouth of, you know, oil riggers, cargo sailors, you know, elderly yachtsmen trying to kind of sail across the world because they've just got divorced. They're not exactly our prime audience. So we haven't done as many procedures as I would have liked.
Okay.
But you know, it's early days.
Just a number will suffice. So how many times have you done a procedure and given someone?
How many times have I done the procedure? Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds of times. I have done the procedure.
Okay, so You've had hundreds of customers.
Well, that's a slightly different frame of the question. I have conducted the procedure hundreds of times.
Sorry, I'm just picking up. This is a bit weird. You're being a bit cagey about this. And I'm not really sure why. You've done hundreds of these procedures.
Yes. Well, I've done the procedure hundreds of times on Jose, because, as I mentioned, its footfall has been low. And you know, it's the sort of procedure you need to do often, regularly, in order to kind of keep it fresh in the mind, and also that the beef mince does go off, and it's a fair distance where we're based to the nearest bit of land in order to stock up on the mince. So in the end, yeah, Jose has had hundreds of lead beef ass procedures.
How's he looking as a result of this?
Well, you know, he's got a fair sized pair of premium Lunchables on him, taking up a lot of room on the boat.
That guy's got a porch.
He's got a hefty porch. Yeah, and you know, inadvertently, as a result of having this procedure done to him over and over again, his ass acted as a billboard. And through that, we actually got our first customer, who was an elderly yachtsman.
Oh, great. So it's not just Jose who's had the procedure.
No,
we've also had
another
customers, proper customers.
Yes, we've had customers.
Great. And tell me about how that went then. I guess he's your first member of the public who had the procedure.
It was great.
Yeah?
Yes, it was really everything.
So is he pleased with it? Because, you know...
he's delighted.
I don't know if an old man... I don't know how old he was, but I don't know if an old man is what people are picturing when they imagine someone getting their bum done.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is kind of what we want to challenge. It's not just, you know, it's not for the young. You can have it. People of all ages are welcome.
So is he pleased? Is he pleased with it?
Oh, absolutely. I would say it's completely transformed his life. Totally.
Wow. Wow. So in what way has it transformed his life?
Well, it's transformed his life in quite a fundamental way. Because, you know, he's dead.
Okay. So he died as a result of the procedure?
Well, I think that's up for debate. He died while I was piping molten lead and steaming hot beef into his arse region. Yes, I'd say it's up for debate whether that was the direct cause of his death. I mean, you know, he was having a great time while I got the power hose. He was FaceTiming his ex-wife, shouting, you know, look what you could have had. Look what you could have had. Look what I'm having done. Look what you're missing out on.
Okay, so that was a positive experience for him, perhaps?
Yes. The remaining sort of 12 to 13 seconds of his life was enjoyable, I believe. Yes.
So you're left with a dead body. You're in the middle of the sea. Do you just chuck it in, or do you send it back to his ex-wife, or what happened then?
Well, out of respect, we put it in the yacht that he pulled up in. We just sort of slipped him back on there, and we sort of, I guess, tried to do a kind of Viking burial type thing. You know, we popped him in his yacht, set fire to the sail, watched him float out, and about 3 minutes later he completely exploded. Huge explosion. It was just, I mean, I felt like I felt like Oppenheimer.
Because it was your fault. I mean, it was because that arse was going up, by the sounds of things.
Well, that, I think, is up for debate. I don't, you know, we'd not searched his yacht. I don't know. He might have been carrying, I don't know, some kind of...
He might have had a nuclear warhead. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes, precisely. He would have at least a ballistic missile. This explosion was, good God. You would have been able to see it from space.
Do you think it's plausible, the idea that he's gone yachting with a missile?
Yeah, you know, he was clearly very affected by his divorce, and men deal with that in different ways. You know, some people get into cycling, other people decide to sail around the world in a yacht with a nuclear warhead.
And were you harmed by this huge explosion? Because you can't have been that far away.
Well, thank goodness that I'd finished, you know, my 50th procedure on Jose, because I was taking refuge behind his enormous ass. Were it not for that, I don't think I'd be here. Jose's ass provided a lot of shelter.
Sim, eu tô fazendo isso comigo mesmo. Eu só quero que minha bunda fique maior. Ela tem que ficar maior. Eu quero uma bunda enorme. Uma bunda enorme. Enorme.
Okay, so it's fair to say that sales aren't necessarily roaring for you. Do you have any plans for how you could maybe turn the business around and get, you know, obviously this podcast interview will help, but have you got any plans for how you can get this into the public imagination and get them signing up to have hot beef and lead pumped into their ass?
I have got an ace up my sleeve, which is, of course, my good friend James Cameron. And
of course,
he's,
okay,
of course, working on, you know, he's a magician when it comes to CGI and filmmaking, and he's most recently been working on the third Avatar film, and so I'm in discussions with James. I don't want to give too much information because you know, this is, nothing's been agreed yet, but I'm very, very close to persuading James to CGI dump truck asses onto the blue Na'vi people.
Wow, and that would be huge. I mean, obviously possible. We've seen it with Pixar. They've done so much to promote the dump truck house. And to put that then into the context of Avatar. Now, we've talked before in this podcast about the cultural power of Avatar. Humans are mimetic creatures, right? We like to imitate what we see. Every human being in the world is going to be watching Avatar 3, give or take, right? That could have a huge, huge impact. Because, of course, with Avatar 1 and 2, people went out and wanted to emulate those characters, their heroes. You know, people tried to ride around on the back of a kind of flying horse snake. It wasn't possible, but people tried.
Absolutely.
And I think what will happen here is they'll see those dump truck asses and they'll say, I want to do that, but hang on, it's not possible. And you're here to say, it is possible.
It absolutely is possible. And, you know, as well as, you know, the film being shown to every single person in the world, once I have convinced James, we've got the infrastructure ready to get a minibus outside every single cinema on the planet, so that when those people see those dump truck asses on screen, they think, you know, as you said, you know, previously they've been like, how do I ride a flying horse? Now they're going to come out the theater screen, how do I get a dump truck ass like that? Hello, I'll be there with Jose. We're ready to go. Get in the minibus, head down to the harbour, you know, get the propellers on the boats going. Jose's behind the wheel. You know, everyone get on, please. No naked flames. Put that cigarette out, please. Absolutely no heat on the boat. But I, you know, like I said, 12 minutes for a procedure. That's all it takes. We've got a conveyor belt. I can see it now. I reckon within 4 to 5 months, 30% of the global population will have a lead beef dump truck ass, and the Brazilian butt lift lobby will be blown clean out of the water, just like the old yachtsman who, not related to the dump truck ass, but if you think that was a big explosion, you wait until the Brazilian butt lift lobby goes up in flames.
Well, Nicholas Summers, thank you so much for the interview. It's been really interesting, and I wish you all the best with your new business. I'm sure things will pick up, and a potential exciting future, I think, for you. So, great to speak to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I did just before the interview ended, I did want to ask you if you'd like to have the procedure done. I'd be delighted to perform it myself.
Oh,
free of charge. Totally free of charge. It's just as a gesture for you know, providing this platform for us to spread the word about the lead and beef arse.
That's really very kind of you, Nicholas. That is kind of you, but I'm afraid I can't accept.
No.
And actually, it's really yes, I can't. I can't be seen to be taking freebies. Obviously, it's a journalistic ethics issue, really.
We're friends. Forget the ethics. Let's just do it as friends. It's not related to this then. I'd just love to get you down that harbour. I'll get Jose to come round. We'll pop you on the boat. We'll get that dump truck ass on you.
Just... Attractive though that is, Nicholas. I'm not great on a boat. That's the thing. I'm not, I'm a landlubber.
We'll figure something out. You know, we can make sure the boat is steady. No, come on, it'll be great. Please.
I really don't want the procedure, actually.
Please.
Nicholas. I would
just have the procedure. Please. Nobody is having this thing done. Do you know how much money I have ploughed into this business? Lead costs a fortune. Lead no. and mince is going up. Please, just let me do it free of charge. The man's family that we blew up are suing, okay? Look, I didn't want to break... They are suing my ass. Do you understand? My dump truck suing. And they think that I was responsible for exploding him. It's not. There's no proof that the dump truck ass has any connection whatsoever to Richter scale level explosions. Just... Have it
sounds
done.
Like that's sufficient proof.
Free.
To be honest.
Just do it now. I will do it personally. Wherever you are, I'll send an Uber. Get you down. Please. Please. I need this. Jose is a monster. Listen, what I've done to him is unbelievable. He's a freak of nature. His ass is enormous. It's just too big. It's too big. 50 procedures is too many. I cannot do it to him again. I will never forgive myself for what I did to him. He doesn't even know what's happening.
Nicholas.
I'm trying to calm him down, but he just doesn't understand any English. What's happened to him? It's a disgrace. I need to be stopped.
Nicholas,
please.
It's okay.
Send the Navy! Torpedo the ship!
I don't think
this
we need to call the Navy.
This has to end! Please!
Nicholas, we don't...
I need to be sunk! I need to be sunk to the bottom of the ocean! May my leaden ass pull me to the bottom of the sea!
Nicholas Summers, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks very much. Been an absolute pleasure.
Por favor, Virgem Maria! Oh, Mãe de Cristo! Oh,
stand still!
Oh, goodness!
Two rounds
of
sticking
across me!
Por favor, Mãe Maria, Virgem Maria, Mãe de Cristo!
A big thanks to Nicholas Summers for that interview. And if you want a Spherical Horizons, a Nicholas Summers Lead and Beef Arse Company arse, simply sail out of the Irish port of Galway, charter course west towards the Azores, and you should see his boat. Just look for the man with the giant ass. And I'm informed, for some reason, it lights up at night. Speaking of the man with the giant ass, I also got a chance to speak briefly with Jose. Jose?
You're not going into my Scania.
Jose, can you hear me?
Jose! My Scania!
Jose, put a sock in it!
My Scania!
Do you want a big round ass
si.
Or not?
Jose? Strange guy. So that's all we've got time for this month. But if you're after more beef and dairy news, get over to the website now, where you'll find all the usual stuff, as well as our off-topic section, where this month we ask, how do planes work? What's going on there? The wings don't even flap? Like, seriously, something's not on. Something's not right there. Do you know what I mean? So, until next time, beef out. Thanks to Cody Dalla and Ricardo V. And this is a big recommend from me. You should definitely check out Cody's podcast. It's called The Truth, brackets, In My Opinion. The brackets are brackets, it's not the word brackets. It's a really, really excellent comedy about the news podcast, and I don't miss an episode. So that's my little tip for you this week.
If you like too many podcasts, you'll love Soundteap with John Luke Roberts. It's got clips from all your favourite podcasts, such as Diary of a Tiny CEO.
Leonard Sprague, tell me how you make your money.
I go to the beach and I steal people's towels.
Remember Arma.
Do you remember the trend of everyone whacking themselves on the head with hammers and mallets when they wanted to lose weight?
And Elty John's lobbly songs.
I'm here today with Kiki D. Hello, Kiki D.
Hello, Elton.
There's dozens of episodes to catch up on, and brand new episodes going out right now. So if you want far, far, far too many podcasts, then look for Soundteap on Maximum Fun. Boop, boop.
All right, we're over 70 episodes into our show. Let's learn everything. So let's do a quick progress check. Have we learned about quantum physics?
Yes, episode 59.
We haven't learned about the history of gossip yet, have we?
Yes, we have. Same episode, actually.
Have we talked to Tom Scott about his love of roller coasters?
Episode 64.
So how close are we to learning everything?
Bad news. We still haven't learned everything yet.
Oh, we're ruined!
No, it's good news as well. There is still a lot to learn.
Woo!
I'm Dr. Ella Hubber.
I'm regular Tom Lum.
I'm Caroline Roper, and on Let's Learn Everything, we learn about science and a bit of everything else too.
And although we haven't learned everything yet, I've got a pretty good feeling about this next episode.
Join us every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.